Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Chof Amid Aleph by the two dots. Just to go back and get us back into the sugya, it's actually starting from the Tosefta that we quoted in the end of yesterday's daf, which is Tara Banan, Di'ashi Yalda Shalosh Banot. Goat has three daughters, V'chol Benoteh Yaldu Shalosh Shalosh. And each of the daughters gave birth to three. Kulan Nichnasot L'dir L'itaser. They can all go into the corral to be Ma'aser in what seems to be a single year, because that's Amar Rabbi Shimon, Ani Ra'iti Shisra B'toch Shnata. So that it was within 1 year this all transpired. Then the Gemara goes through some iterations about why it has to be 3-3. And the Gemara's conclusion is that even though if it has a live birth during that year, it will not, again, have a second live birth during that year. And therefore, the mother over here that gave birth will not repeat in that single year. She cannot provide another animal to be counted towards the maaser of that year, because once she's given birth to the three daughters, there isn't sufficient time for her to repeat in that given year. But it has no impact after it's mintanefet. A behemah might, after a miscarriage, after it's mintanefet, it might carry again within that same year. Now, yesterday we gave the pshat that Rashi favors. There is an alternative pshat that Rashi brings down. Very, very difficult pshat about the toch shnata over here. Because the way you can read toch shnata, there are one of two ways to read it within that year. Toch shnata can be within the single year. After it's given birth, you can get maaser behemah, which means that the daughters plus their children, the children and the grandchildren, will be in the maaser. The other possibility of toch shnata is within that year that the mother was born, the grandmother, the matriarch of the family, in the year that she's born, you can have the others. That's what Rabbi Shimon is saying. That the mother could be counted towards the 10. And then Rashi gives a shot like that. And the difference being, toch shnata is different than the toch shnata earlier. That's the way we explained it yesterday. That's the way that Rashi favors in the end, which is that the toch shnata of here is the toch shnata de tinufa. That means within the year of her tinufa, not the year when she's born, but rather when she has given birth. That's what it means within the year. From the moment she's given birth, within that year, you can create enough 10 in the family to get them into the corral. The other possibility would use the word toch shnata like we did before with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yoshua. We said that the machloket between them was about minatefet. And over there, that toch shnata means within the year that she is born. And that's the alternative that's offered. Rashi points out the difficulty in that pshat. We'll again favor the one that Rashi keeps, the way we explained it yesterday. So now we're saying, Amar Rabbi Shimon, ani ra'iti gdia. Ma'ika ben tanaka amod Rabbi Shimon. What's the difference between them? So, ika ben ayu di ze'iri. The difference between them is ze'iri. If you remember, ze'iri says that a animal, after it's miscarried, will wait 30 days before it carries again. Tanakama itle diziri. Tanakama has ziri. Rabbi Shimon late diziri. And Rabbi Shimon does not have ziri. Once you've done that, what's the scenario? The behema had a tinufa, depending on when it have it, but we have a tinufa of the daughters. The daughters were born, and then about 6 months later, they have a tinufa, they have a miscarriage. After the miscarriage, do they wait the 30 days, or do they not wait the 30 days in order to have another pregnancy? If they do wait the 30 days, after that 30-day period, then they're going to have to wait 5 months until they give birth again. So to get it within the year, it will depend on whether you hold of ze'iri. It's the same situation that we had before, which is it within the year or is it not within the year? So if they are tinuf at the beginning of the 7th month, and then they will not give birth to the first day of the 2nd year. After 6 months, they have a tinufa, they have a miscarriage, they wait the 1 month of zahiri, the 5 months of a next pregnancy. That means that they're going to hit the first day of the next year. So according to the Tana Kama, you cannot have it happen within the year. According to Rabbi Shimon, since he doesn't hold of Ze'iri, she doesn't wait the 30-day requisite period. She doesn't wait 30 days, then you can have the animal have its second pregnancy that year within the year.
Birth.
And the birth, well, the second one will be a birth. The first one was just a pregnancy. That's why I'm saying a second pregnancy. The second one will complete within the year, and they will have 10 within that year. So that'll be the nafkamina between them, between Rabbi Shimon and the Tana Kama.
This is the explanation given by the Rabbeinu Gershom, as well as a second explanation that's given by Rashi.
The question you have to ask here is that the Tanakhama, even though he says that they didn't happen in a year, still says that they all come into Maaser in the same year. Well, the year of Maaser is from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Rosh Chodesh Elul. If you're saying now that according to the Tanakhama, they can't all be born within that 1 year, then how do they end up in the same grouping for Maaser? The answer to that question, Rashi says, is that it was an Iber year. It was a leap year. And because it was a leap year, even though it's not within the same 12-month period that they're born, it's really 12 months in 1 day, nevertheless, for Maaser, they are together in the same grouping because it'll be Rosh Chodesh Av at that point because of the Iber year. And therefore, they will be in 1 year of Maaser even though they're not born within the same year. So the machloket between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon will be whether it can happen within a 12-month period. And that's because Rabbi Shimon says, B'toch Shnata. But they both agree that it's the same year for Maaser. For Rabbi Shimon, you won't need to have it to be a leap year. Whereas for the Tanakhama, it will have to be a leap year. Rashi offers earlier another pshat, which was that they actually had the Tinuf on the last day of the 6th month. And therefore, according to both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, they will give birth before the end of the year. That means for the Tanakhama, they will give birth on the last day of the year. And according to Rabbi Shimon, they can give birth even earlier. And the nafkamina between them will be about Toch Shnata. The Tanakhama says it only works if they have exactly 1 year, because it'll be the last day of the year, and therefore they'll be within a year plus within the same year of Maaser, because they'll be born on the last day of Av. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon, because he doesn't hold of Zeiri, will able to have it a day, 2 days, a week earlier, and therefore he will be Bitoch Shnata, within the year, meaning that he'll have extra time that they can have this within the year and be counted towards the Maaser, whereas for the Tanakh will only be a year exactly. The subsequent Gemaras seem to favor this idea that it was on the first day of the 7th month, because they seem to indicate that for the Chachamim it will be outside of the year, and therefore it will have to be a leap year in order for it to be the same Maaser year. But again, it could be explained according to the Pshat. Both of them were born within the year, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. It's just a question if they are exactly a year or less than a year.
V'ibayitema, the Kuliyama Yitlu Ziri. Everybody holds of Ziri that you wait the 32 period. The question about whether they have to have full term, do they go to full term or do they not go to full term? And that we saw before also, which is, if they had the miscarriage at the 6 month point, they have to wait a month before they allow a male, where they mate before a male can mount them. They're pregnant for 5 months after that point. If they have to carry for the full term of the 5 months, 5 months times 30 days, then they're going to be into the next year. If you think that they can give birth after 4.5 months, meaning that they don't have to go to a full 5 month term, then they will give birth within the year. And that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The difference between them will be whether they have to carry a full 5 months of 30 days, or can they go for 4.5 months and that's enough? That'll be the machlokas between them. And just to note, Rashi keeps saying, Rashi said throughout here that the months that we're counting here are 30-day months, which are basically solar months. Saying every month is 30 days, and 5 months means 5 times 30. Tosafot over here argues that it should go by the Chodshei Alevana. When you say 5 months of pregnancy, it's based on the lunar months. That means alternating. It's 29-30, 29-30. So they'll actually turn out to be 3 days or 2 days less than Rashi's months. It makes a difference in the way Tosafot reads the Gemara. Then he can come up with a shorter year because of that. But Tosafot says, don't be surprised that even though this is something in nature, that we can go by the lunar months and the lunar months impact in terms of something that should be what we would think would follow the Chodshei Achlamah. Because here it's something that's in Teva, something that's natural, should follow a natural cycle. Why should the lunar length of the lunar month have any bearing here? It says, don't be surprised, we have other things like that, where the nature follows the lunar months, and therefore it also counts, it says that it should be calculated based on 5 lunar months, not on 5 months of 30 days like Rashi does. Tanakhama enu yoleda de mukutayim, since it can't give birth on less than 5 whole months, it will exceed the year. Rabbi Shimon, you let it. Rabbi Shimon says you can't have less than a full 5 month carrying, and therefore you could be within the year, you'll have the daughters, 3 daughters, reproduce and create the 9 grandchildren. We don't need 9, we only need 7 more, but they will create the 7 more that they need to go into the corral to have Maaser, according to Rabbi Shimon, because they'll give birth after 4.5 months. They miscarried at the 6 month point, and they'll still be able to have their children within the year. But remember, now there's still an Ukimta in this situation, which is that they were tinfu abanot, they had this miscarriage along the way. That's not apparent in the sefta that we brought down, but the Gemara is assuming that there is such an ukimta, that there was a miscarriage through the first 6 months after they were born, and then we were worrying about whether they can make it within the year after that point in time. The next possibility, everybody agrees that you have to have a full-term birth. And now they're arguing about Mitzvah Yom Kikulo. Again, we did this before, which is if you have Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, it brings it back one day. Because either if they miscarried on a day, and you start counting the 30 days on the same day they miscarried, it'll pull it back a day. Or if after the 30-day point, can't she become pregnant on the 30th day itself? Do you have to wait the 31st day or the 30th day? And again, at the end, the 5 months. To the 5 months end, could you give birth on the end of the 5th month? Or does she have to wait into the 6th month to be a full-term birth? Those are all Mitzvah Yom Kikulo. Rashi says you need one of those Mitzvah Yom Kikulo to bring it back, because, according to Rashi, you're only exceeding the year by one day. So if you have one Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, you can pull it back. Tosafot, to suggest over here that you're exceeding it by 2 or 3 days, sees that if you have to use all of them, all three of those that I just mentioned, if you put them together, Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, you can bring it back 2 or 3 days, and that would bring you into the year. But that would be their argument, that the Tanakam, Alo Amrina, Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, therefore you're exceeding the year. Rabbi Shimon Amrina, Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, a partial day can count towards a full day, and therefore he has one day extra to play with. And according to Tosafot, 3 extra days to play with, and that'll bring it back within the year of Maaser. Since it's within the year of Maaser, then you could be Maaser the Beimot. One of Tosafot's proofs is that the year of Maaser is on Rosh Chodesh Elul. You can be Maaser, the same behemoth that are born between Rosh Chodesh Elul and Rosh Chodesh Elul the following year. So he says it has to follow Chodesh Elavana. Because if you take it by 30-day months of the solar year, you'll exceed the Rosh Chodesh Elul to Rosh Chodesh Elul. So he says it has to be counting based on the lunar months and not on the solar months. It's just one of Tosfos' proofs that it must be doing it that way. Then the Gemara says, Ibai Deima, Dukule Amra Amrina Miktazayom Kikulo. That everybody agrees that we say this principle mixes the Yom Kikulo. So again, it could happen within the year. They could have miscarried, the daughters could have miscarried, the 3 daughters could have miscarried within the year, and still had a second pregnancy that comes to full term, have the grandchildren, granddaughters, as Rashi points out here, mentioned this yesterday, they're all daughters, because otherwise they would end up with a problem of Bechor. And Bechor doesn't go into the corral for Maaser. So they're all having daughters in order that we don't have any problems of Zecharim being born as firstborns, that would be a problem of Bechor. So then you have the 3 daughters then have their children, and they're still within that year, so they can all go into the corral together to create the maaser. So if you say mixed kula, then what's the machok between them? Mahocha, but mechusar zman nichnas the deer, litaser kameh vlegei. Remember that in Kodoshim, an animal is not really out of Mizbeach until after 7 days. It's only on the 8th day. Over yom hashmini v'hala yiratzeh, the karban Hashem. So only after the 8th day is something really to be a karban. So even if this child is born within the year, which is what we're supposing over here, there's still not enough days for it to get over the 7-day hump that it'll be Re'uya L'Mizbeach. So the question here is, do you have to be Re'uya L'Mizbeach to go into the corral to be counted towards Maaser? The 10 animals that go in for Maaser, do you have to be to the point where they're Re'uya L'Mizbeach, or just be that they are 10, and when they're Re'uya L'Mizbeach, you put them on the Mizbeach, but otherwise they're fine. And that's Machlokas. Machlokas being that the Tanakama believes that it has to be Ru'uya L'Mizbeach, therefore you won't make it within the year. Because not only do you have the 6 months that it miscarried, the 1 month for Ze'iri, and then you have the 5 months of pregnancy. There we say it gives birth at full term, but mixed with a Yom Kikulo, so it made it on the last day of the year. Only problem is it needs another 7 days to wait until it's Ru'uya L'Mizbeach. No chance. So they don't go into the corral together. Bishimon will say, oh, it made it in the last day, and it can count. It don't have to wait the full 7 days before you put it in to be counted toward the Maaser. Vatanya, we have a Braita ben Ichuta that says exactly that, which is, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Mechusar Zman, Nichnas Ledir, Lehitaser, straight out. He says something that is still under the 8th day, before its 8th day, can go in to the corral and be counted towards the 10 of the Maaser. Varihen ki bechor, and it's exactly like a bechor. Ma bechor kadosh lifnei zmano. A bechor has the same thing. Bechor is kadosh mi peter rechem from the moment it's born, yet it can't go on the mizbech until the 8th day. So you see, you're able to be makdishit before the 8th day, but you cannot put it on the mizbech before the 8th day. So the 8th day is only a requirement, or only a limitation when it comes to placing it on the mizbech. It's not a limitation with regards to being makdish the animal. So by the bechor, it happens by itself, peter rechem. Maaser needs you to do it, so you can go into the corral to be counted. So just like Bechor, Kadosh Lifnei Zmano, V'Karev L'Achar Zmano, and then it's put on the Mizbech afterwards, Av Mechusar Zman, Kadosh Lifnei Zmano, V'Karev L'Achar Zmano. V'Adi Yolif Mi Bechor, Nelif Mi Kodshim. Why are you running out from Bechor? We know by Kodoshim it says you have to wait until the 8th day. And when we say you have to wait until the 8th day, that's both for going on Mizbech, as well as being Makdishit. We did see a Machloket, whether you're able to be Makdishit on the night of the 8th day. Because it says the first 7 days it's not ra'oi, on the eighth day it is ra'oi. So now the reason it talks about days is because kodashim only go on the mizbeach during the day. So for 7 days it's not ru'ya, eighth day it is ru'ya. What happens on the night of the eighth? Meaning after the 7 days are complete, before the eighth day starts. That night, what's the status of the animal? Can you be makdish the animal that night? And then put on mizbeach on the eighth day or not? That we've seen a machlokas about. But here, the suggestion that it be even before that you can be makdishit, that's only a din in Bechor. They try to extrapolate that and put it into Maaser as well. But kodashim by themselves, nobody would say that you can be makdishit before that point in time. So Gemara says, "Vadi elik mi bechor, elik mi kodashim, mistaver mi bechor, avi lay the melef." Makes more sense to learn that bechor, shekein, goel, mum, tmurat, achila. Four items that are common denominator between maaser and the bechor. Number one is goel. You are not allowed to redeem, you're not allowed to exchange, redeem a bechor or the maaser. Because there it says, lo yigael, in nivdim. Because when they get a mum, they're eaten. Number two is mum. That they are kadosh, even though they have a mum in them. A bechor is kadosh, miyarechem. So even if it has a mum, it becomes kadosh. Number two is a maaser. When it goes through, if it's the tenth one, and it has a mum, ben tov, ben ra, it becomes kadosh, b'maaser. So other kadoshim, if kadam mumam lekehek desham, we saw the Mishnah, the beginning of the second perek, that if it's hekdem mumam lekehek, they're really not kadosh. The exceptions to that, the Mishnah said, the two exceptions to that are bechor and maaser. So here they have that common denominator. Tmurat. When it comes to tmurot of other behemoth, at least the bishlamim, let's say the bishlamim, that is mukrav la mizbeach. It goes on the mizbeach just like the regular animal itself. Tmurat olah, tmurat shlamim, that's the case. By chatat and hasham, it'll be different. But over here, tmurat maser and tmurat bechor, even though they're kadosh, they don't go on the mizbeach. Even though they're kadosh, they don't end up on the mizbeach, so they have another common denominator. And the last one is achila, that they're ne'achal bimuman, that they're eaten by their mumam. That's the way Rashi explains it. That they are eaten. When they get a mum in them, what do you do with them? You don't redeem them. You eat them bimuman. They're kadosh, but you get a mum in them, and then you eat them. Bechor will go to the Kohen and he'll eat it instead of putting it on the Mizbeach. Maser will go to the Balim instead of putting it on the Mizbeach. They don't need to be redeemed. Nothing happens. You just eat them when they get a mum in it. Regular Hekdesh, you have to be poda, and then you can eat it as Psulei Mukdashim. So that's a difference. Ah, very good. Rashi says it that way. Tosfot says, just what Tzvi just said, that says Goel and Achila are just two sides of the same coin. The reason you don't redeem them is because when they get a mum, you eat them. So Tosfot offers up another pshat. He says, near the Faresh, Timishune Achilata Mishar Misulei Mukdashim. This is something we've also seen in the past, is how do you monetize the animal? By Psulei Mukdashim, after it gets the mum, you sell it, and then you use the money towards a korban. So when you sell the Psulei Mukdashim, you're allowed to sell them in the shuk like a regular meat, like a regular animal. Whereas by Bechor Maser, you can't put it out on the idlis, you can't put it out in the shuk, you can't weigh it on the regular scales. That is because the proceeds from Psulei Mukdashim go to Hekdesh. They're going to purchase another animal that's going to go on the Mizbeach. So maximizing the proceeds of Psulei Mukdashim, even though you're going to be Mizalzel and Kodashim, the benefit of that Zilzel goes to Hekdesh. So therefore you'd like to sell it in a regular manner to gain the most from the sale of the animal. On the other hand, by Bechor Maaser, who are the proceeds going to? If you're able to sell the Bechor and the Maaser, it'll go to the Kohen or to the Balim. Over there, there's no benefit to Hekdesh. We're not going to allow you to be Mezalzel and Kodoshim to the benefit of the Kohen or the Balim. It's not going to Hekdesh, that benefit. If the benefit's not going to Hekdesh, we're not going to allow you to be Mezalzel and Kodoshim, so therefore you can only sell it in a private sale. You can do it in a way that doesn't go into the shuk. You can't maximize the profits in order that you're not mizalzel and kodoshim. So that's what Tosu says the difference in achilata is. The way that it's eaten, I mean, the way that it's sold is different than the way that other kodoshim are sold. All right, now, Adarabba, the Gemara says, why don't you say the opposite? Mekodoshim avalel melef. Shekein. Now we have four things in kodesh. Zachar, kadosh, matanot, and pashut. You have these common denominators between them. Now really, zachar, it's in the gear, so the sheet that changes the gear, it's Zachar, Pashut, Matanot, and then Kadosh, or something like that. Change the order. Yeah. But Zachar means a male. That's really the opposite way around. By Shlamim, and by the Maaser, it's irrelevant whether it's a male or a female, they're Kadosh. By Bechor, there's a demand for Zachar. It can only be a Zachar in order to be a Bechor. So it's saying, Zachar is not the common denominator, it's the fact that they don't need a Zachar, that's the combinator between them. Pashut, they're both not kadosh, I mean they're not bechorim, they're simple animals, that's true by kodoshim, that's true by the maser, that's not true by the bechor. Matanot, the bechor is a matanot kuhuna. The bechor is given to the kohen. regular shlamim and regular maser, even though they are both quote unquote shlamim, and a portion of them goes to the kohen, they're not part of the matnot kohuna. The balim eat the shlamim, the balim eat the maser. They keep it for themselves, whereas the bechor goes entirely to the kohen. It's one of the 24 matnot kohuna. And then the last one is kadosh. You have to be makdish maser. You have to be makdish kodoshim. Bechor is kadosh me'aleh. Happens by itself. So these would be four things that are common denominator between maser and regular kodoshim versus bechor. So why are you making, why is he taking the limud from bechor? Let him learn it from regular kodoshim. The answer is that he has a gzeirah shavah. El Rabbi Shimon havara havara gamir. He has a gzeirah shavah of havara havara. That it says by maser, this is yavor tachat hashivet, that they will pass under the staff when they're walking out of the corral through the narrow gate, goes under the staff, and every tenth one you're makdish as maser. When it comes to the bechor, it says varatar kol peter rechem. So there you have havara, havara the gzeirah shavah. So just like by maser, by just like bechor, we say that it can be kadosh before its zman, that it can go on the mizbeach. So to be maser, we'll say the same. So yes, wait a minute, we also have a gzeirah shavah of kodashim to maser. Because it says, kol asher yavor tachat hashevet. So there you have yavor and the word tachat. And then it says by the 7 day and 8 day week, it says tachat imo. So you have tachat tachat for gzeirah shavah of kodashim. So why is it favoring the limud of havara havara versus the limud we have gzeirah shavah tachat tachat? Tosfos asks this almost every time that they do this with the gzeirah shavah. He says, even though you could have done that, Hacha the Indian Kidu Sheikh Lamel of Tfei me Havara. Makes more sense to talk about Havara, the Mashma Kola Shri Yavor Takarashevet Lashon Kidush. Because that's really in the Yavor, Vavatar Petarechem. Yavor Takarashevet. That is the process of being Makdish the animals. So that sounds like the better place to learn it out from, rather than the word Tachat, where it's not really involved in the process of being Makadesh the animals. Right, so that leaves us off in the sugya, and now the Gemara goes back and asks a question that we should have known before, or information that we didn't need to before, which is, Heichi Dami Tinuf. How does Tinuf, what is this Tinuf over here? What are you talking about Tinuf? This miscarriage that happens, what is it? So Amar Rava, this is a Tikkun, you know why? Because Shmuel is going to argue over here, and it makes more sense that Rav is arguing with Shmuel than Rava is arguing with Shmuel. So that's why they changed the gears to read Amar Rav instead of Amar Rava. So Amar Rav, Kedamrei Ru'uta de Tzilta. So the shepherds of this place called Tzilta, it's the Atzor Chiyuta. The Atzor Chiyuta, now Rashi says, Atzar from the word Ne'etzar Rachma, that it's womb narrowed. It means that it's womb constricted, V'nimoka Ubar, and somehow it crushed or it dissolved the fetus that was inside of it. The mother's womb constricted, and therefore crushed what was inside it, it dissolved what was inside of it, and sent it out. That's what tinuf is. Ushmu amar babuyay didamo. That they are bubbles of blood. As Rashi says, poletet ababuot shel dam. It expels these bubbles of blood, and that is what this tinuf is. Mitzarich laroto lechacham. And you have to show it to a Talmud Chacham so that he can tell you whether it is a miscarriage or not. Where it says, Chacham mino yoda. How does a Talmud Chacham know what he's looking at? How does he know when a Behema Daka is having a miscarriage? He doesn't know the first thing about a miscarriage of a Behema Daka. How is he going to know this information? Amar Papa, Ru'eh Chacham. We said this once before. We're talking about a Chacham here. We're not talking about a Talmud Chacham. We're talking about an expert. The word Chacham here means show it to an expert shepherd who can tell you whether this is a result of a miscarriage or not. Or is it just something that the animal's sick? But you want to know, you've got to go to an expert to find out if these discharges are discharges because of a miscarriage. Amar Rav Chisda. Harei Amru. We have said that when it comes to the creation, the conception of a fetus in humans, it's Yetzirat HaVlad B'Yishar Ba'im Yom. It takes 40 days. Up to 40 days from the moment of conception, what is being carried in the womb, the fetus being carried in the womb, is not classified as a fetus, not classified as a being. And therefore, if there's a discharge of that fetus, the woman is not deemed as if to have a pregnancy or as if to have a miscarriage. And therefore, whatever comes out, she doesn't sit on Tuman Tahara. It's not considered to be a miscarriage. After 40 days, we consider the fetus to be a being at that point, or to be classified as an ubar. And if the woman miscarries at that point in time, she'll have to sit like as if she had a full pregnancy. You have to sit based on the Dmei Tuma, the Dmei Tahara. Again, if you don't know if it's a male or female, then they take the Chumrot on both sides. But it becomes the equivalent of a full-term birth after that 40-day point. The Gemara wants to know now, is that, what's the story with the Behema Daka? The Behema Daka, we know it carries for its term, full-term pregnancy is 5 months. But how long does it have to carry in order to be classified as a miscarriage, that is, miscarrying a fetus, and not just, as Rashi calls it, Maya Ba'alma. It's not just water that's being expelled by the woman, like we would say, under 40 days for the human being. The answer is this a miscarriage or not a miscarriage? That's the nafkamina. And the nafkamina being a miscarriage is being whether you have to wait the 30 days. Do we consider this to be tinuf? Tinuf will only be if it is a fetus that she miscarried. If she miscarries a fetus, we need Zairi's din that you have to wait 30 days afterwards. She waits 30 days after a tinuf. A tinuf is only if she miscarries a fetus. It's not a fetus, yes, it's not called a miscarriage. And you won't have that 30-day window that Zairi says she waits after a tinuf before she becomes pregnant again. I'm a little popular by it. Love, I know Zairi. Isn't this the din of Zairi? Tamar, Zairi ain't tinuf pachot nishloshim yom. There's no such thing as a miscarriage under 30 days. So now, Rav Papa is reading Zairi differently than we did. We read Zairi until this point, which is going to be the answer of the Gemara, that Zairi says that after a miscarriage, you wait 30 days before it'll allow a male to mount it, before it'll mate again. On the other hand, the way Rav Papa is reading Zairi is, ein tinuf pachot mishloshim yom, means that there is no miscarriage under 30 days. Meaning that it takes 30 days before the animal could miscarry from the time of conception. That's the way Rav Papa is reading Zairi. So now I have an answer to Rav Chisda's questions. 30 days is the answer. So Abaye answers him the way we've been learning Zairi until now, which is v'hola kabel itmar. Zairi is not addressing when it becomes a fetus. He's saying after there is a miscarriage, how long before the female will mate? It's 30 days. So it's a difference after the miscarriage. It's not telling us how long till the miscarriage, but rather telling us how much time after the miscarriage before it mates again. So now the Gemara leaves that unresolved. All right, if you hold up Zairi, correct. It works both ways, which is that if there was tinuf, it will wait 30 days. But the opposite is true, which is what you just stated as well, which is if it mates, you know for sure what happened before was not a miscarriage. So it's a two-way street. If it miscarries, it'll wait 30 days. That means that if it doesn't wait 30 days, it didn't have a miscarriage. That's what the Gemara's been doing until now, all the way along. If it can give birth within its year, that's evidence that it didn't have a miscarriage beforehand, because it couldn't have done it. It wouldn't have made it. If it's having a birth within its first year, it's clear that it didn't have a miscarriage before, because there's not enough time for that to happen. That was earlier when we were dealing with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua. That's how the Gemara did it. It did a two-way street. The truth is that it's a forward-looking statement, which are, Zairi says it'll wait 30 days to mate. But based on that, the Gemara will then go backwards and say, well, if it didn't wait, that's an indication that there wasn't a miscarriage. So we did that before, and what you're saying here is true as well. That if it doesn't wait 30 days, it's clear that there wasn't a miscarriage. So then the Gemara leaves that unresolved, and now moves on to the next question. Our Mishnah addressed purchasing the animal from a non-Jew. Our Mishnah does not address what happens if you purchase it from another Jew. What's the story? Is the first animal a Bechor, not a Bechor? Three-way machloket, amara, bechor badai. It's for sure a bechor. Dim'ita de bichra, had already given birth to a bechor, ishtabuche haba mishtabachle. The seller would have held that up as a selling point on the animal. Now, one of two reasons. Tosavot quotes a Rashi that we don't have, and then afterwards he quotes the Rashi that we do have. Which is, one is that there's danger. The first birth is dangerous for the animal. Had it survived already a birth, that would be a selling point for the animal. If it kvar bichra, had already given birth, he would laud that. He would make that a public fact when he's selling it, because then this animal has less risk in having the subsequent births. The other one, which Rashi is the Rashi that we do have now, is that if it already gave birth to a bechor, it's a selling point because you're not going to lose the first animal born. The first one that after you buy this, anything that's born is yours. You don't have to give it to the kohen already. The bechor was already given to the kohen. So now you are going to keep everything that is born. So there's a benefit to that, and he would have advertised that. The fact that he doesn't advertise this selling point shows you that it's not true. That's what Rav says. The fact that he didn't say anything means that there was no bechor yet, and it's a bechor vadai. Shmuel amar bechor safek. Shmuel says that it's a safek. Why? So why didn't he advertise the fact that already had a bechor? He says, Savar the shkita kavayle. He didn't know that he's keeping it from mating. He thought he was taking the animal to shecht and use it for its meat. So he didn't tell him the information that already gave birth to bechor because it's not relevant. You can shecht it for meat. Doesn't matter. If you're going to use it for mating, you can use it to produce others, then it matters. But Shmuel says he might have thought that. Therefore, it's a bechor safek. We don't know why he didn't say it. He might not have said it because it hadn't happened yet. But he also might not have said it because he didn't think it was relevant. So you can't prove anything for the fact that the seller didn't say anything. The exact opposite, it's vaday chulin. My time, im ita lo bichra. Had it not given birth yet, came into ika isura oduye havemodile. That had it not given birth yet, he would have told the buyer about it, because there's an isur involved. If he doesn't tell the buyer about it, the buyer will take the first animal, keep it for himself. He'd be in violation of taking a bechor, that's kadosh, that has to go to the kohen. He'll be stealing, he'll be in violation, if it's a bechor tam of kochim bachutz. And this is a problem. The seller's gonna mention it to him, because he doesn't want the buyer to be in violation of that isur. Three-way machlokot, Rab says it's a bechor vadai. Shmuel says bechor safek. Rabbi Yochanan says that it's chulin vadai. Rav says it's a bechor vadai because otherwise he would have advertised it, and because it's a selling point for the animal if he already had a bechor. The fact that he didn't advertise it, indication there was no bechor before. Shmuel says it's a safek. We don't know what he wants the animal for. Therefore, he might not have advertised it because he thought he was using it for shechita. So no proof from there. Therefore, it's a bechor safek. Yochanan comes along and says he would have definitely told him this is a Jew. They don't want to be in violation of Lifnei Iver. They want to protect their buyers, and therefore they're going to tell them so the buyer knows that he might have a bechor. In fact, he didn't say anything means there must be no isur here. There must be no bechor here. Tanya Kavotid Rabbi Yochanan. We have a brayta that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Damar chulin. The Gemara says about chulin in the din of oto be'et bino. Im lo hodio. If the seller doesn't tell the buyer that the mother was already sold for today, He can take the child and he can check that on that day. Ve'enu nimna. He doesn't have to hold back. So what do you see? We depend on the seller to give the information when there's an isur. Here you have an isur of otobe. No, he sold the mother to someone else that morning. And here we remember the Gemara in Chulin and Mishnayot in Chulin. It's talking about one of the 4 days when everybody buys for Shechita. So if he sells the child on that day, he must inform the buyer that he sold the mother already. Because it's almost 100% that whoever bought the mother shechted it on that day and he's not going to be able to use the meat of this child. The fact that the seller does not tell you that means you can shecht without any questions. You don't have to worry that the mother was shechted that day because the seller is obligated to tell you in that case. If he doesn't tell you, then you're free. So now listen, that same exact scenario. Here the seller is obligated to tell you the information. Just like here by the Bechor, Yochanan is saying, the seller is obligated to tell you about a Bechor. If he doesn't tell you, it means it's not a Bechor. So to Bozo Beno, the seller is obligated to tell you the information. He doesn't tell you, you don't have to worry about it. When it says, it's a Tiyuvta de Rabbi Shmuel, that really undermines the position of Rabbi Shmuel. And it says, maybe not. There's two different problems here. Who's the only one who has the information? The information is with the seller. He's the one who's going to be in violation of the isur here because he's the one who has the information to give to the buyer. There's no way the buyer will know if he sold the mother that day. He just doesn't have the information. It's not within his realm. And therefore, to protect against the Isur of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol, the Mocher is obligated to pass that information on. By Bechor, that's not the case. The obligation of Bechor is on the Lokeach, on the buyer. And it's the buyer's obligation to figure it out and to know the information. Now you can ask, and so on and so forth, but it's not the Mocher's obligation to present that information to the buyer. He's not Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol when he sells him an animal, doesn't tell them it was a Bechor. It's not his obligation. If the buyer asks, he can tell him the truth. But it's not his obligation here. If he doesn't tell the information by Tobe Beno, it's Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol, he's clearly in violation because he's the only one who has the information. There's no way the buyer could know without the mocher. Since the onus is not on the seller, therefore the buyer is the one obligated, and the seller doesn't have to impart the information when he sells it. So just by the fact that he didn't give the information doesn't mean that there wasn't a bechor. Because he wasn't obligated to give the information. By Otobe Beno, if he doesn't give the information, you know for sure it's not Otobe Beno because he was obligated to give the information. Because there he's going to be in violation of Lifnei Iver. Over here he's not going to be in violation of the Lifnei Iver. And that's what Tosfot says. He knows for sure that he's buying it to shecht it. Over Lifnei Iver lo titen mechshol me'ino modio. He doesn't tell him. There's no reason the buyer should think that he sold the mother and the child on the same day. Why should he have to think about that? The child takes longer to grow up. How do you know that he sold the mother on that day? The only one who has the information and the only one who can know that it happened was the seller. The buyer doesn't have to even think about that possibility because it's not normal. And number two is he just doesn't have the information. On the other hand, here by Bechor, it's his job to figure out whether the behemah is a Bechor or not. The obligation is on him to figure out this information, whether there is a Bechor. He's the one obligated in Bechor. He can find out the information. He can figure out the information. And it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, by Otove Beno, we're saying it's such a far-fetched case that he won't even think about it. Over here, the buyer has to think about it. Possibility that if it's a young animal, that there's a possibility that it was a Bechor. And since he has to think about that, and he has to consider that possibility, it's his obligation to find out the information. Therefore, Rav and Shmuel will not agree that this breita is a support for the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Despite that, as Tosa points out, the halacha gedolot of Hag is paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, because we have the principles in Shas, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, halacha, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, halacha, Rabbi Yochanan. So here you have Rav and Shmuel arguing on Rabbi Yochanan, so the halacha will be like Rabbi Yochanan. Even though you could have argued over here that Rav and Shmuel have a common denominator between them, which is that Rav says it's a Bechor Vadai, Shmuel says it's a Bechor Safek. So maybe say it's two against one. The common denominator between Rav and Shmuel is that there's a Tzad Bechor here, which Rabbi Yochanan says it's Kulin the Gamre. So maybe you could say that you have two against one. It's Rav and Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan. You could have argued that. Nevertheless, the Bahag says it's not that way, that it's just a din of Rabbi Yochanan versus Rav, Rabbi Yochanan versus Shmuel, so that even though there is some common denominator between them, it's not enough of a common denominator to say that it's two against one. We pass an halacha like Rabbi Yochanan based on that, and that's what Tosfot brings down over here. All right, we're going to stop over here.